Hi, my name is Teddy Lee Brown, and I'm a heretic. Welcome back to the Heresy is Good podcast. In part one of unknowingly groping an elephant while chained to a cave wall, we discussed human subjectivity and its relationship to what we can and cannot know. Those who are limited experientially by only being able to grope one part of the elephant formed at best incomplete and woefully inadequate conclusions on what an elephant is. If God is the elephant in the room, those experiential limitations are converted into orthodoxy. Having hugged the leg of an elephant, they are convinced, absolutely certain, God is like a tree, and to believe anything else is blasphemous and heresy. Their faith is defined by its lack of flexibility and its resistance against all the other faiths, despite the fact that those faiths are unknowingly groping and defining the same elephant according to their limited experience. Unfortunately, their faith is defined by its lack of flexibility and its resistance against all the other faiths, despite the fact that those faiths are unknowingly groping and defining the same elephant according to their limited experience. Once an orthodoxy is established and disbelief, heresy, is criminalized, its constituents will be spiritually deprived by clinging on to an inadequately understood part of the whole, as if it were the elephant, as if it were the God, and substitute the dysfunctional part for the real thing. When the whole purpose of spirituality is to move toward wholeness. Without heresy, we would end up nothing but a bunch of leg huggers. Now, let's turn our attention to the cave we are chained in. The Greek philosopher Plato introduced the allegory of the cave in his philosophical masterpiece, Republic. It's presented as a dialogue between Plato's mentor, Socrates, and Plato's brother, Glaucon, and is narrated by Socrates. I'm about to share a brief summary of the allegory from Wikipedia. Quote, Plato begins by having Socrates ask Glaucon to imagine a cave where people have been imprisoned from childhood, but not from birth. These prisoners are chained so that their legs and necks are fixed, forcing them to gaze at the wall in front of them and not to look around at the cave, each other, or themselves. Behind the prisoners is a fire, and between the fire and the prisoners is a raised walkway with a low wall, behind which people walk carrying objects or puppets of men and other living things. The people walk behind the wall so their bodies do not cast shadows for the prisoners to see, but the objects they carry do, just as a puppet showman have screens in front of them at which they work their puppets. The prisoners cannot see any of what is happening behind them. They are only able to see the shadows cast upon the cave wall in front of them. The sounds of people talking echoes off the walls, and the prisoners believe these sounds come from the shadows. Socrates suggests that the shadows are reality for the prisoners because they have never seen anything else. They do not realize that what they see are shadows of objects in front of a fire, much less that these objects are inspired by real things outside the cave, which they do not see. The fire, or human-made light, and the puppets, used to make shadows, are done by artists. Plato, however, indicates that the fire is also the political doctrine that is taught in a nation-state. The artists use light and shadows to teach the dominant doctrines of time and space. Also, few humans will ever escape the cave. This is not some easy task, and only a true philosopher with decades of preparation would be able to leave the cave up the steep incline. Most humans will live at the bottom of the cave, and a small few will be the major artists that project the shadows with the use of human-made light. Plato then supposes that one prisoner is freed. This prisoner would look around and see the fire. The light would hurt his eyes and make it difficult for him to see the objects casting the shadows. If he were told that what he is seeing is real, instead of the other version of reality he sees on the wall, he would not believe it. In his pain, Plato continues, the freed prisoner would turn away and run back to what he's accustomed to, that is, the shadows of the carried objects. He writes, quote, it would hurt his eyes, and he would escape by turning away to the things which he was able to look at, and these he would believe to be clearer than what was being shown to him. Plato continues, suppose that someone should drag him by force up the rough ascent, the steep way up, and never stop until he could drag him out into the light of the sun. The prisoner would be angry and in pain, and this would only worsen when the radiant light of the sun overwhelms his eyes and blinds him. Slowly, his eyes adjust to the light of the sun. First, he can see only shadows. Gradually, he can see the reflections of people and things in water, and then later see the people and things themselves. Eventually, he is able to look at the stars and moon at night until finally he can look upon the sun itself. Only after he can look straight at the sun is he able to reason about it and what it is. Plato continues, saying that the freed prisoner would think that the world outside the cave was superior to the world he experienced in the cave, and attempt to share this with the prisoners remaining in the cave, attempting to bring them onto the journey he had just endured. He would bless himself for the change and pity the other prisoners, and would want to bring his fellow cave dwellers out of the cave and into the sunlight. The returning prisoner, whose eyes have become accustomed to the sunlight, would be blind when he re-enters the cave, just as he was when he was first exposed to the sun. The prisoners, according to Plato, would infer from the returning man's blindness that the journey out of the cave had harmed him, and that they should not undertake a similar journey. Plato concludes that the prisoners, if they were able, would therefore reach out and kill anyone who attempted to drag them out of the cave. End quote. In my adaptation of Plato's allegory of the cave, the shadows simultaneously represent consciousness and unconsciousness. Like the prisoners chained to the wall, we are chained to our subjectivity. We, like them, draw our own conclusions and beliefs about what we think we've seen and heard, and are oblivious about what we haven't. But, to be fair, can we justifiably blame the prisoners in Plato's allegory for a woefully inadequate worldview? Especially considering the scale and scope of the effort to keep them in the dark? The lies, the manipulations, the inhumanity? Is it not understandable why horrifically traumatized human beings, with just a peek at the truth, would instinctually choose dissociation over knowing the abysmal hopelessness of their true condition? Even the good news that there might possibly be a way out of the cave is bad news to them, because it makes them conscious of the fact, for the first time, that they have been chained to a cave wall all their lives instead of living the lives they could have lived otherwise. They could end up so traumatized by the news that they might not choose to survive, or instead lash out and kill the messenger in retaliation for them being held captive for so long. Thankfully, we are not literally chained to Plato's cave wall, but many of us are biochemically chained by trauma. Psychedelics can chemically, temporarily set us free. Be it fetal, birth, infancy, or childhood trauma, it can have a profoundly negative influence on our lives beyond what most people can comprehend. Compounding trauma can convert previously normal, healthy, biological, and psychological defense systems into our worst enemy. Unintegrated trauma transitions into shadows on the wall, just out of the reach of consciousness. We believe we know why we think and feel the way we do, and are often oblivious that we, like the prisoners, have unconsciously fabricated much of what we think we know about ourselves and the world. Now, most people, if not seriously adversely disabled by it, are quite content to live out their lives interacting with the shadows. Some even feel more secure there, even if it's only the better the devil you know kind of thing. While others are in much too much pain to not become obsessed with escape and begin the journey out of the cave into the light to ask themselves, how did I get here? And who am I, really? Used properly, psychedelics facilitate a multi-level experience and integration of the shadows. One suddenly becomes conscious that they are in a cave without having to be told. Instinctually, they sense they've been manipulated for some reason into believing in things that are not true. They remove their chains from their necks and turn away from the wall in search of the sources of the shadows and are overwhelmed by sources. Everything is just too much too fast at first. They rapidly look back and forth at their old and new worlds, trying to integrate them and make sense out of their personal experiences and lives. The greater the deception they experience, the longer it takes to heal from and integrate how it all worked. But once they fully comprehend that reality isn't what they and others have projected onto the cave wall, they want to move on and find the real thing. They become aware that they haven't always been captives and seek to return to the world in which they were originally born to reset their lives. Psychedelics can help us find our way back home. But as Plato reminds us, the ascent from the cave into the sunlight is not always an idyllic journey. A lifetime of deprivation can sometimes make the process extremely difficult and painful, with or without psychedelics. Progress, with exceptions, for the most part, can only be made in stages. But eventually, the prisoner can once again see the beautiful world in which they were born. Delighted by his discoveries, the escaped prisoner in Plato's allegory is overwhelmed by empathy and compassion and decides he must return to the cave and inform his peers. Upon his return, the escaped prisoner's eyes cannot adjust to seeing in the dark as well as before, and the remaining prisoners conclude his ascent from the cave had blinded him, and they vowed to never try the ascent, no matter how much their fellow prisoner tried to convince them that it was the right thing to do. It was the only excuse they needed. Trapped by the damage it was done to them from an early age, they can no longer trust anyone but the shadows and live out their life accordingly. Forever not knowing shadows from reality or who they really are and where they came from. Assuming the escaped prisoner once again escaped with his life and returned to the surface, his journey was still just beginning. Plato stopped his story shortly after the ascent and taught that the way out of the cave was a disciplined intellectual pursuit of reality. And certainly that helps. But as it turns out, access to consciousness, to reality, is a far more egalitarian process than he could have imagined. Everyone has potential access to everything. And in future podcasts, we will thoroughly discuss the extraordinary experiences of ordinary people. But let us get back to our escaped prisoner and his pursuit of reality. Back on the surface and acclimated to his new environment, he becomes cognizant that there is much more he needs to know to understand who he is and what life is all about. Wouldn't he need to know how he ended up chained to a cave wall shortly after birth in the first place? Why would someone do such a horrendous thing to him and others? Where were his parents? Were they cooperative with his captors? Were they dead? What kind of society was he born into that allowed such a thing, and why? What were his captors gaining from their cruelty and deceit? Without answers to questions like these, reconnecting to reality isn't possible for him. Psychedelic therapy is capable of providing him the answers he needs through memories most people don't know or believe exist. They often think that because they don't have conscious recall of such early birth and infancy memories, that they are non-existent or forgotten and lost to history. But that is simply not true. There is a record of everything, and it's accessible through consciousness. It is as essential to us as it is to him to experientially integrate our earliest memories and experiences to truly understand why we became who we became and what other options we may have if so desired. At one time, the escaped prisoner was incapable of ever even imagining any other world or experience other than the shadows. It was only happenstance that allowed him to escape and make the ascent. Not unlike an unplanned breakthrough resulting from the recreational use of psychedelics. But now that we both have ascended, we will never go back. But that first ascent was just the beginning. Plato's escaped prisoner emerged into a new world with a new understanding. Psychedelic therapy and psychonauts are exploring and emerging into a multidimensional multiverse in such a way that even Plato would turn green with envy, even if at first it was as inexplicable to him as the cave is to some. Not only is there a world outside the cave, it turns out that there is an infinite number of other experiential realities, just as real as the one we experience ourselves in, that are accessible to human beings. And if you feared we were alone in the universe, don't. My name is Teddy Lee Brown. I am proud to be a heretic, and so should you. I hope you enjoyed the unknowingly groping an elephant while chained to a cave wall episodes. This podcast needs your support, folks, the subject matter of which will be complex material made accessible to the rapidly growing community in need of it. Expect straight talk and thorough explorations of what makes us tick, the light and the dark, while we learn and benefit from the generations that came before, from their mistakes and triumphs. You can subscribe for as little as 99 cents through Spotify, or check out our page on Patreon for other options. You can donate directly via PayPal at heresyisgood.com and check out some of the merchandise inspired by this podcast while you're there. Anything you can do to spread the word about this podcast will be sincerely appreciated. In the meantime, be the best heretic you can be.